Hello and welcome again to the sixth episode of the Big River Solutions podcast. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and in this episode, how do you solve a problem like Generation Z? Quite possibly the most savvy and technologically advanced group of shoppers on the planet. They know what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. They probably know more about your product than you do, and are fearless when it comes to sharing their opinions online. Helping me tackle the issues of the youth of today are my panel, David Edwards, Neil Hutton, and Christine Edwards. David, Generation Z, who are they?
Typically still at school. They are very technologically advanced. They know how they're going to get it, what's in fashion, when it goes out of fashion. And as some of the online communities have found out to their cost over recent years, they are very capable of moving away from a very hot topic in an instant. And this sometimes leads brand owners in particular in the cold. So the Generation Z people are luckily not in the purchasing space at the moment, although they're getting ready. And they will be one of the richest cohorts in retail history because they're still living at home with mum and dad. They're unable to afford houses. They will therefore be very cash rich. So Generation Z are going to be looking for very authentic products that have a very strong provenance that allows them to meet their purchasing aspirations.
And also, they're not going to be very entrepreneurial. So you're not going to get a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs out of this generation. They're sort of intrapreneurial. They're concerned about themselves and, in all honesty, not much more.
And one of the other aspects to bear in mind is that we as a retail generation are still finding our feet when we're trying to communicate with them. So the fact that they're not actually in the main market at the moment is a godsend because it does give us time to then try to understand how to communicate with them effectively.
And these guys think in pictures, not in words. So, you know, they're off, when you look at the apps that they're using, it's WhatsApp, it's Snapchat, it's Instagram, it's not Facebook, and it's not talking to each other. It's about sending each other pictures with comments.
So how will Gen Z influence category development?
Well, I think we've probably got to go back to basics to understand how Gen Z will interface with retailers and make their purchasing decisions. Because what they're not doing, they're not going into a store looking at a fixture and deciding what they want to buy. They are much more informed than older generations. They're making their decisions based on a huge amount of information that's available that they're getting from the internet, they're getting from peer reviews, getting from their friends, and they're making decisions based on that information, you know, way before they actually make the purchase. So it's a different mechanic.
It'll be really interesting to see. I mean, even now, they still say that 70% of all decisions, purchase decisions, are made in store. It'll be really interesting to see whether or not in 10, 15 years' time, whether or not that number has changed, because actually the reality is, even with the additional information and sources of purchase and the path to purchase beginning much earlier than it has in earlier years, still 70% of all decisions are made in store.
I think it's really interesting. Even now, you see people going into store and they're looking at the backs of products. They've got their smartphone in their other hand and they're Googling information about those products. So even now, older generations are beginning to research things in store and changing their decision purchases whilst they're doing that.
And it'll be interesting to see whether or not some of the relatively cynical moves that have been made by retailers by naming products certain ways, whether or not that will be picked up much earlier and maybe people vote with their feet a little bit more.
I think the real thing that's changed is the information and attitudes move at the speed of light, literally the speed of light, around the world. So something gets reviewed, something gets criticised, a news item about a brand breaks and it's instantly known. And that can instantly change the shopping habits in store.
And there's a very clear message that comes out of this as well, is that change will be constant. There won't be any aspect of how they shop that will remain static. If we look at how we shop today, we are fairly considered in what we're looking for and what we are wanting. With Generation Z, they're going to be defining what they need, the price at which they are prepared to pay, and how soon they can get that product. So demand, both in terms of price, product performance and delivery, fulfillment will be absolutely key in retaining Generation Z.
We're already hearing about delivery initiatives, aren't we? I mean next day is too late, isn't it? We're now hearing about, is it three or four hour slots for, within central London?
And that's what pushed Sainsbury's and Argos to get together for exactly that reason. And then Amazon are trialling now their 2 hour window in central London, and that will be rolled out. So we're already seeing that development. But what we are yet to establish is how do we encourage, entice a very conservative generation into what will become new products, new innovations, a new way of servicing them. And I suppose we're looking towards technology to drive that, and how we are communicating with them online becomes important.
Which leads me on to my next question. What should suppliers and retailers be doing about this? How can they herd these cats rationally?
I think in the old days, manufacturers and suppliers put an advert on the TV, and that influenced shopper behaviour and shopper purchasing. Now, media has fragmented. There are so many other media sources. As we've said earlier, Generation Z are making their decisions from all sorts of different information sources, from peer reviews, from information available, often incorrect information, it may be said, and not necessarily audited or corrected information. So those decisions are being made in totally different ways. So if you're a manufacturer, clearly you have an input in wanting to influence the information that's available to the consumer.
And I think it'll be interesting to see what information will influence them. So will this generation be as easily influenced by price and promotions, or actually is opinion about whether or not the product is good or not, does that outweigh the potential downside or upside about what they know about it? I mean, the interesting thing also, just listening to David talking about route to market being quicker and more easily accessible products and whatever, it does just make you wonder, though, at what point will they not pay for this, or at what point will they become maybe potentially more traditional? You know, are we seeing these guys as being the guys that are going to spend all their lives going to farmers markets and farm shops? And if provenance is really so important, you know, will they trust the sort of bricks and mortar big box guys to really deliver the provenance that they desire? I guess the question is, at what cost, at what point will they compromise the need for provenance with the need for ease, or just not wanting to spend the money? But if it's true that these guys are going to stay at home with mum and dad for a much longer period than maybe previous generations, it does make you wonder also about actually how important groceries are going to be for them, because will mum continue to be the person that's providing the groceries and actually rolling eyes all around this table, by the way, will their purchasing power be more on leisure or things for me? So is it clothing and leisure activities where we will really see the Gen Z pound being spent?
Well, a good example of a me purchase in that cohort at the moment is headphones. If you look at headphones, I have a natural price point, but then I'm relatively old. I look at what teenagers are buying and spending on headphones, and my eyes water. They are just astronomic. But that is the standard price for that particular product that cohort will pay.
And that's not driven by technology. That's not necessarily a better headphone. That is
branding, isn't it? Or colour.
Image.
Yeah.
What their friends have got. It's what's trending on social media.
Yeah. And if that's an indication of how they will be, you then look at the older group within Gen Z and their fascination with street markets and street food, and the explosion that we see in that category as food innovation takes place on the street markets, and different ingredients are being used, and the uptake is exceptional. So that is potentially a direction of travel in terms of authenticity, in terms of innovation and pricing.
Are we saying that Gen Z is less price sensitive? I mean, from what we've all said, we're saying that price is probably much lower down the tree.
Well, it just makes you wonder if if we know them to be highly oriented around provenance and sourcing is really important, I guess the question is, does that mean that they are less concerned about what it costs because the balance is, I want to know particularly which farm it's come from or genuinely where the product has come from. I mean, you just don't know. And I guess until they start spending their money, you just don't know. I mean, as an aside, so Big River Solutions are in the process of setting up what we're calling Generation Z Voices, really to try and help us understand some of these questions. And we're looking at talking to two cohorts, which is 13 to 16-year-olds, who I guess really haven't spending very much money apart from on things in sort of shopping malls. And then also as a second group, 17 to 20-year-olds, the most of them still in full-time education, but starting to go and maybe buy groceries away from home when they're at further or higher education. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens when they actually take their first forays out into the real world and actually have to spend their money on things that aren't genuinely just for me products. I think it's too early to say. I mean, we're seeing such fundamental change in the way that channels are structured and the way that people are shopping. Although broadly still, you know, people are relatively traditional in what they do. What we say we do and what we do are very different things. But it'll be really interesting to see when this generation comes to fruition and goes and takes its first steps within the marketplace. It'll be interesting to see what they actually do.
I think insight's going to be critical as we move forward now. I mean, it's very easy for us to sit around the table and we've, you know, we've got children, we can guess, we can observe some of their opinions and how they're glued to their
That's iPhones. A very brave statement, you know. That,
but, you know, what do we know? I think we've got to talk to them. We've got to understand what makes them tick.
So what does this mean for shopper marketing?
I think it's all moving online. I don't think Generation Z are going to be making many decisions in store. I think they will have got their voucher, got their coupon, got their discount, got their cash back before they go in store. They know what they want to buy. They'll go and do it all in store.
I think the interesting thing will be which stores will survive.
I think things will change quickly. That's the thing. Things will go in and out of vogue quickly. So I think both retailers and brands need to keep understanding that curve and staying ahead of it.
I mean, we've already set our group of Gen Z Voices a task, and we actually asked them to go out in store and identify the four categories that they found most interesting or that they liked and take some photos. And it was really fascinating what we've had back. So as ever, a gender divide, of course. So the boys took photos of DVDs, games, and then all the things that are rationed. So they like confectionery, they like snacks, they like cake. But interestingly, also took some photographs of the more the categories where maybe artisan plays an element. So the boys did come back and had taken photos of deli or bread or bakery maybe. The girls, conversely, but sort of similarly, didn't take photographs of games or DVDs, but did pick some of the rationed categories, but much more heavily were interested in bread and the deli counter, looking at... interestingly, for me, a couple of them looked at ready meals, but they weren't looking at pizzas. They were looking at the far more added value, higher end, slightly more different meals. So they weren't interested in good old lasagna or chili con carne. They were looking for the new trends, the interesting things. And actually, it was the packaging that particularly sold very heavily what was in the box. So it was ideally where they had sleeves. That's they want to be able to see what they're buying. Somewhat worryingly, a good old dry packaged grocery didn't figure at all. So this is going to become very much a staple, you know, on a sample of what we've done. Dry packaged grocery is going to become a staple. And the areas that you can create interest and generate some story really are going to be the areas that they're going to be most interested at in store.
Does that mean that dry packaged groceries are going to sort of sink into
or just move misuse? Online, you know, yeah. Which is, you know, we talked about in an earlier podcast the role of online and pack sizes and formats and stuff. And I think you potentially just say that, you know, online becomes a point where you deliver big packs that are staples, and really the winners will be the guys who can create theatre in store and interest in store, which of course when you look at the resurgence of things like farm shops and small artisan suppliers probably gives us a steer already that the way that people are thinking.
But the one standout statistic that caught my attention was pet food. There was a lot of interest in pet food.
So they're all going to have dogs and cats. So as I mentioned earlier, Big River Solutions is in the process of setting up a group of youngsters. We're doing it in partnership with our great friends at Shoppercentric, who are going to be the research partner on this. And what we're going to do is we're going to set these guys a monthly task, and we've asked them if they can take photos of anything that they see in store that they particularly like or dislike. They're communicating with us, of course, via an app, so they can easily post the pictures on the app and then give us some comments. But the interesting thing is that we're offering the opportunity for our clients that if there is a specific need to find out from these guys a comment or some thoughts on something, that actually we have the opportunity to do that too. So we're in the process of building this group of individuals, and we're going to launch it properly in September or October.
And that's all we have time for on this Big River Solutions podcast. My thanks to the panel, David Edwards, Neil Hutton, Christine Edwards. And if you want to find out more, please visit bigriversolutions.com. This has been a TDC production. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams. Until next time, goodbye.